Hello again, I'm Mark Mallett, and this is the Now Word for February 25th, 2016. It's day 14 now of our Lenten retreat, and today I want to speak about something that's been pressed on my heart for the past few weeks, and that's the difficult topic on losing one's salvation. Now, I think you'll understand in a few moments how this ties into the last couple of weeks. But let me repeat again. Salvation is a gift, a pure gift from God that no one earns. It is freely given because God so loved the world. In one of the more moving revelations from Jesus to Saint Faustina in her diary, he beckons, "Let the sinner not be afraid to approach me. The flames of mercy are burning me, clamoring to be spent. I want to keep pouring them out upon souls. Souls just don't want to believe in my goodness." You know, that's not only moving, but that's heartbreaking. And the Apostle Paul really echoed that 2,000 years ago when he wrote that God wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So there's no question, brothers and sisters, of God's generosity and his burning desire to see every single man and woman remain with him for eternity. However, it's equally true that we can not only refuse this gift, but forfeit it even after we have been saved. You see, when I was growing up, there was a heresy circulating among some of the evangelical churches that once saved, always saved. That you can never lose your salvation, that from the altar call on, you are covered by the blood of Jesus no matter what you do. And I have to say, sadly, I still hear radio and television preachers continue to teach this error from time to time. But to be certain, it has its Catholic counterpart as well, where some clergy have taught that because of God's infinite mercy, nobody will end up for eternity in hell. Well, the reason that both these heresies are a dangerous and insidious lie is that it has the potential of stunting or even completely stalling a Christian's growth in sanctification. You see, if I can never lose my salvation, then why bother mortifying my flesh? If I can simply ask forgiveness, well, why not give in to this mortal sin just one more time? And if I will never end up in hell, well, why bother persevering in devotion, prayer, and fasting, and frequenting the sacraments when our time to eat, drink, and be merry here on earth is short as it is? Well, such lukewarm, if not cold, Christians are the devil's greatest strategy in the spiritual battle to claim souls as his own. Here's why. For Satan does not fear the saved. He fears the saints. Those who with St. Paul can say, "I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me." And according to Jesus, they are few. "Enter by the narrow gate," he says, "for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Now, this passage is typically understood as meaning that many go to hell and few reach heaven. But there's another deeper meaning here I think we should consider, and it's this: that the narrow gate to life is the gate of self-denial and renunciation of the world that leads to interior union with God. And truly, few are those who find it, few are those willing to persevere on what Jesus calls the hard way. Today, we call those who did saints. Now, on the other hand, many are those who take the easy and lukewarm path that compromises with the world and ultimately leads to the destruction of the fruits of the Spirit in our life, thereby neutering the Christian's witness and his or her threat to the kingdom of Satan. And so, yesterday was an invitation to you and me to enter the narrow gate, to become true pilgrims who resist the easy way. Yeah, the way is hard, but I assure you, God will make and has made every possible grace and spiritual blessing available to us if we but desire to take this path. And that desire opens the fifth pathway, the fifth highway for God to enter the soul. And I think that's where we'll pick up tomorrow. But I want to close today's reflection by briefly countering this dangerous heresy that we can never lose our salvation. And it's not to scare you. It's not to create fear. But to draw your attention to the spiritual battle we are in, that most notably is aimed at preventing you and I from becoming another Christ in the world. You know, it was to Saint Jean Vianney that Satan shrieked, "If there were three such priests as you, my kingdom would be ruined." Well, what if you and I actually enter what I will henceforth call the narrow pilgrim road? Okay, on to this heresy. Jesus warned that the love of many will grow cold, but the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. Speaking to the Roman Christians who were saved because of faith, said St. Paul, he reminds them to see God's kindness to you, provided you remain in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. This echoes now Jesus' words, that those branches that do not bear fruit will be cut off, and those branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. To the Hebrews, Paul says, "For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Now this confidence or faith, said St. James, is dead if it is not proven in works. Indeed, at the last judgment, Jesus says that we will be judged by our works. In Matthew 25, he tells the parable of the separation of the sheep and the goats. And they say, the goats cry out to him, they say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?" And he will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me." And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And note, the ones who asked that question called him Lord. But elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, "It's not the one who calls me Lord, Lord who will be saved, but the one who does the will of my Father." And last, St. Paul turns to himself and says, "I drive my body and train it for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." That is, dear brothers and sisters, St. Paul entered the narrow pilgrim gate and the way that is hard. But in this, he discovered a secret joy. "For to me life is Christ," he said, "and death is gain." That is, death to self. In summary then, the narrow pilgrim road, which is the path of renouncing oneself for the sake of Christ, leads to the beatitude of peace and joy and life. Therefore, says St. Paul, let us leave behind the basic teaching about Christ and advance to maturity without laying the foundation all over again. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and shared in the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to bring them to repentance again, since they are re-crucifying the Son of God for themselves and holding him up to contempt.